Thursday, the 13th of February, five games, and we are on break for a week. Feels like a bit of a spring break, doesn't it? Is it? I don't think it is spring anywhere, but it feels like a spring break. We will talk about the action. We had an interesting Ben Simmons performance. I didn't think I'd be saying that on today's show. We will get into everything. This is the Thursday post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify and YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume fantasy basketball content. We are part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. So we have five games, but let's do a little bit of player news first of all, which wasn't really related to today's games. So we got an update from Shams about an hour ago, two hours ago, regarding Daniel Gafford. So we knew he was out for at least a couple of weeks with a knee sprain. We were expecting an absence longer than that. And here we are, 6 weeks minimum. I think it's more than that. A grade three sprain is basically a complete tear of the MCL. It does heal itself, so shouldn't require surgery, but recovery time is 6 weeks is best case, very best case. I don't know what path they're going to take here, the Mavericks, because Anthony Davis could also need surgery. Do they just shut it down? I don't think so. It's going to be interesting to see what they do here, obviously on the back of the trade. It's just compounded things with no Anthony Davis. Lively was already out and Gafford. Look, honestly, Lively could be the first player back. We just don't know. Gafford is a drop. We don't need to hold him unless the fantasy playoffs start really late, then maybe you get him. But, yeah, we're not holding him, I don't think. All right, let's get into the games. All right, Golden State let's do player ranks because there's some weird names in this list today. Top 10 players for the day. Number one, and we will get to Dallas, Dante Exum was the best fantasy player today. Love to see that. Zach LaVine, Ben Simmons, Javonte Green, Naz Reid, James Harden, Jose Alvarado, Brandon Podziemski, Tyler Hero, CJ McCollum. And then I'll just a shout out, Carlo Matkovich was 11th. So we'll throw his name in there as well. All right, now let's get into the games. Golden State at Houston. Another good win for the Warriors, although honestly, the Rockets just looked cooked. They are so ready for this break, I think. But it's a good win. So Jimmy Butler looking solid. It's a fairly empty line here, but the numbers are fine. Steph Curry continues to play very well. Brandon Podziemski, just going at him. Steve Kerr has come out and said that he will be starting. We know how much we should trust Steve Kerr. That's not very much. But for now, we add him. He led the team in minutes here, 18, 5 and 4, 4 steals, 1 block. Draymond Green, 13, 4 and 8, 2 steals, 1 block, playing at center. This is sort of, I don't know. I mean, this is what we thought might happen, that they would just go with him because none of their other center options are actually any good. And Moses Moody, look, I mean, he's playing 10 points, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks. He's not a priority, I don't think, but it's working. They're playing him. I don't mind giving him a look. For Houston, not really taking a lot out of this. As I said, it was just the starters, 30 minutes for Thompson, 21 for Brooks, 27 for Şengün, 22 for Jalen Green. They just went with their bench unit here. They sort of got them back into the game. But Jabari Smith will be back. Tari Eason will be back. Fred VanVleet will be back. So a 25-point performance by Aaron Holiday. Very good if you streamed him in. No need to be holding him, though, I don't think. And even with all of those guys out, Cam Whitmore played 10 minutes. So I think that tells us everything we need to know about their opinion on Cam Whitmore. All right, the Kings and the Pelicans. The Kings go down in overtime, 140-133. Look, the starters were all fine here, I think. No poor performances. Sabonis, obviously very good, 22 and 28, 13 offensive rebounds, stupid numbers. So he was very good. Monk shot the ball poorly, but still ended up with 24, 6 and 9, steal and a block. All the starters, except for Keegan Murray, played well over 40 minutes. Now, this was an overtime game, remember that. But Keon Ellis, only 23 minutes, 7 points, 1 steal. If they're going to do this with him, we can move on. I streamed him in today, hoping that maybe this 30-minute thing was going to stick. It is not. And look, honestly, he wasn't that good on the court. I watched most of this game. He was a team worst, minus 11. I know he gets all these raps about being this big difference maker. I really don't think he is. He helps them at times, but he's not winning them a title or anything like that. You could argue they are better with him on the floor, and I have said that I think he should start over Keegan Murray. Even if he was to do that and he was to be a must-roster player, he's really just defensive stats and some threes. If he was to slot into that starting lineup, which I don't think is going to happen, he would be the fifth option like Keegan Murray, and he's not as good an offensive player as Keegan Murray. So anyway, bit of a rant there, but yes, Keon Ellis, if the minutes are going to be like this, move on. For the Pelicans, Trey Murphy also shot the ball very poorly tonight, 4 of 17. And this is going to happen with a guy that is not used to shooting this many shots all the time. He's going to have bad nights. But 18 points, 9 rebounds, 11 assists, made up for it. It was good to see. Javonte Green had 5 steals and a block. I'm not sort of adding him based off this. Zion was out in this one. CJ McCollum, good game for him, 43 points. Jose Alvarado, make sure he's rostered. The role is probably going to ebb and flow a little bit, but he's looking like a must-roster player, 18 points, 8 assists, 3 steals. I probably should have streamed him in over Keon Ellis, but you win some, you lose some. Jordan Hawkins had 16 points off the bench. He's really just more of a streamer. We don't need to be adding him. Karlo Matkovic is interesting, though. 13 points, 5 rebounds, 3 blocks, 2 steals. Shot the ball well. 27 minutes. Now, this did come with Zion out, but... oh, sorry. Eve Misi left the game with a knee injury, didn't return. This is the Pelicans. They don't need to be prioritizing anyone. So if we come out of the break and Matkovic is starting, probably has to be added. So you're going to have to do it now to get ahead of it, pick him up and wait and see what happens after the All-Star break. But I think he is worth it. OKC at Minnesota. Yeah, look, the Thunder looked pretty cooked in this one as well. Also just clamoring for that break. They lose 116-101, one of their poorer performances of the year. Shea had 24 points, but 6 of 21 from the field. He was 11 of 11 from the line, and he had 9 assists and 8 rebounds. So the numbers are still fine, just the percentages were down a bit here. Hartenstein, 10 and 12 with 2 blocks. Chet Holmgren had 11 and 12 with 2 blocks and 2 steals. So they can coexist, which is good to see. Jalen Williams, 23 and 5, steal and a block. Lou Dort, 14 points, that's fine. Look, when they've got their roster pretty healthy here, Kayson Wallace will come back in as well. I don't think we need to be holding Dort. Aaron Wiggins finally cooled off 10 points and a block in his 19 minutes. We're not looking at those bench guys, are we? For the Timberwolves, they shuffled things around with no Rudy Gobert, no Mike Conley. So Alexander Walker started at point guard again. It is very dark here too. I just can't get up to turn the light on. That's why I'm sitting in the dark. Looks like I'm sitting in a cave or something. We've got a big storm going over here as well. McDaniels was good, 21 points. 6 rebounds, 5 assists. I actually didn't stream him in tonight either because I thought, oh, yeah, Thunder, pretty tough matchup, but he was good. Jalen Clark had 2 steals in his 24 minutes. He got the start, but didn't do a lot with it. Edwards had 23 points on a lot of shots, 5 of 18. Naz Reid moved into the center spot, which we thought he probably would do, and he had 27, 14, 7, and 1. Huge sell high on Naz Reid at the moment. Julius Randle, we assume, will come back at some point, but we haven't really had an update. And then Dillingham, Garza, those guys didn't do enough. And I would assume that the Gobert injury was nothing significant. Conley will probably also be back after the break, as might DiVincenzo. All right, Miami at Dallas. Very good win for the Mavericks here. Both teams were shorthanded. Miami were without Andrew Wiggins and Bam Adebayo. Tyler Hero had 40 points, 30 shot attempts. This is what he's going to continue to do all year. Davion Mitchell, 2 steals are interesting. We've seen enough of him to know he's not a fantasy-friendly guy. Jaime Jaquez started and had 6 points in 23 minutes. Yeah, look, Jovic was disappointing here for me. 25 minutes, 6 points. I thought he would be a hold, but maybe he's not. I mean, this is without Wiggins. Maybe you give him another game, but the upside is pretty limited. So I'm okay moving on from him. Burks had 12 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal. Free throws were pretty poor, but other than that, some good numbers. But again, not someone we need to be adding, I don't think. Kyle Anderson had a very Kyle Anderson game, 15, 10, and 3, 2 blocks. If he was guaranteed 30 minutes a night, he'd be probably a fantasy asset, but he isn't, so he isn't. And Khalil Ware, 17, 9, with a steal and a block in 32 minutes. That's good. Would have probably expected a little bit more with no Bam. He had 15 and 7 at halftime. So pretty quiet in the second half. They sort of locked him down a bit there. So, yeah, not great, but, I mean, he's a hole. He's a clear hole, let's say that. And for Dallas, let's start with Dante Exum. So he started. He only played 24 minutes because he can't really play more than that. 27 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 2 of 2 from 3, 3 of 3 from the line, and 11 of 13 from the field. So this was incredible. I love to see it from an Aussie, but it is not going to happen again. We do not need to go and chase this performance. Kyrie Irving will come back in. PJ Washington will come back in. Klay Thompson will come back in. Caleb Martin eventually will come in. So, yeah, good to see. Don't need to chase it. The only guy here that I would be trusting and rostering is Max Christie, who had 19, 5, and 5 with 3 steals and a block. Have to roster him. Look, I guess the question is who of their big men that are remaining is going to have value here? Is it Kessler Edwards, who isn't that big? Is it Maxence Prosper, who isn't that big? Is it Najee Marshall, who isn't that big? PJ Washington, will he start at the 5? I don't know. So there's some questions here. Najee Marshall, I would probably hold because he just fills a number of roles here. Kessler Edwards, Maxence Prosper, I'm probably not there on those guys yet. And Dinwiddie, look, this was just Kyrie was out, so he had a good game. Again, not chasing this performance. All right, the Clippers and Utah. I'm going to turn the light on here, so just excuse the slowness, but it's looking like I'm sitting in the pitch black. So there we go. Not that you need to see my head, but I like to be able to see what's going on around me. That's better. Clippers and Utah. Clippers get the win eventually. They were down by 20, close to 20 in the first half, but they do pull this one back, which is good for the Jazz. For the Clippers, Norm Powell, 41 points, nothing else, but 41 points, 5 threes, 10 of 13 from the line. I'd like to see 11 or 12 of 13 there, but that's okay. Derek Jones, look, they're getting deeper, this team, so we don't need to be holding him. Zubats, yeah, look, I mean, he wasn't played off the court, but he just wasn't playing that well. Harden had 32, 10, and 7 with 3 steals and 2 blocks. Also a little bit poor from the free throw line, 11 of 15. So for Harden, that's not great. Chris Dunn, if you streamed him in or held him overnight, he gave you another 3 steals. Bogdan Bogdanovic had 7 and 3 steals off the bench in 23 minutes. Maybe he forces his way into the discussion, but we're not there yet. Let's talk about Ben Simmons. 12 points, 7 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, 4 of 4 from the line and 4 of 5 from the field in 27 minutes. He looked good. I don't think I'm adding him yet. Kawhi was out. So remember, he's a pretty significant part of this team. So does Simmons play ahead of Chris Dunn? Does he play ahead of Nick Batum and these guys as a sixth or seventh man? Or does he just simply slide back to being an 18-minute a night player? We don't know. Again, if you want to just add him, I assume he will still miss back-to-backs, but was that just the Nets not wanting to play him? We will find out when they come to a back-to-back. He didn't play this back-to-back. Moving forward, though, I'm not sure. He's good in specific builds. If you're punting points, if you're punting free throws, he's very good. So if you want to take a flyer on him, if you've got pickups to not waste, but just to utilize, then I think you could give him a look. Onto Utah. They played all of their big guys, except I did say in the pregame show, look out for a late addition to the injury report. And sure enough, Walker Kessler was added to the injury report with a thumb sprain. And yet he was on the bench without a brace on his thumb, cheering, clapping. It didn't look like a sore thumb to me. Filipowski got the start, 20 and 10. So I streamed him in and I said I was just going to hold him in the hope that he plays. And he did. So I'm pretty happy. Collier had 16 and 8 with 4 steals. So this was really good to see the defensive upside translate into fantasy production. Markkanen was solid, as was John Collins. Keontae George closed the game over Svi Mykhailiuk. He had 13, 4 and 9. Sexton will come back. Clarkson will come back. But until then, we hold Collier. We hold Keontae George. I don't think I'm holding Filipowski. I know this was good, but Kessler will be back in the next game, I would assume. As you can hear the rain. All right, let's do some quick questions. There aren't too many, so that's good. Is Podziemski an ad over LeVert and Kamara? Can never trust Kerr's words. Truer words have never been spoken, Joseph Kim. Is he an ad over LeVert? Yes, I think I would have him over LeVert. Over Kamara, I think it's a toss-up. If you can take a bit of a risk, I would. If you're looking for a safer sort of option, I'd probably hold Kamara because I think his role is very secure. Wayne was offered OG for PJ Washington. What are my thoughts? No, I don't think so. I mean, I know Washington's out at the moment, but I think he will be back after the break. And he does more. I think rank-wise, they're probably pretty similar, top 50-ish, top 60. But OG, a lot of his value is tied to steals, where PJ Washington, he will score a little bit more. He's a good rebounder, and he's going to have to be. And he's a serviceable defender. He's good on that end as well. So I think I'd prefer PJ there. Just with the trajectory here of the Mavericks not having a center for the next 2 months. Londez, is Matkovic an ad? Yeah, look, I think so. I think he might be. Hinny Minnie, hope the results turn out well tomorrow. What results? Are you talking about the knee results? Let me know. And you also regret dropping Jose. Yeah, look, it happens this time of year. We're very reactive to things. yeah, look, it happens. Again, I don't think he's going to be a top 50 player that's going to win or lose your season. It would have been nice to have him there, but he could come out after the break and have a couple of poor games. Hini Mini, would I use my last ad for the All-Star 2 weeks for Ben Simmons? Great for my build. Would drop Hayes, Keon. I don't think I'd be dropping Hayes just yet. Keon, would I have Simmons over Keon? I mean, they're both pretty good for your build. Again, I think, yeah, I'd be okay with that. Simmons is really just a flyer at this point because Kawhi will come back. But, yeah, I'd hold on to Hayes. I'd be okay taking a flyer on Simmons over Keon Ellis. Also, where the hell is Kelly? Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm assuming they're discussing a buyout here with Kelly Olynyk, what's going to happen, and probably negotiating with other teams before they announce that he's been bought out. There's probably some goings on. So I don't think he'll play for the Pelicans unless they can't, like, unless there's, because he will want to play. So if they say, yep, look, we're happy to buy you out or for you to play, they would then let other teams know that he is going to be bought out. I think this can happen anyway. If other teams come back and say, yep, we will sign him if you buy him out, what he doesn't want is to be bought out and then just sitting around doing nothing. So I think that's probably what's happening, and we should get some clarity after the All-Star break. Matkovic or Diabate rest of season? Well, that depends on Mark Williams. Yeah, if Mark Williams plays, then it's Matkovic. If he doesn't, it's probably Diabate. So I can't really answer that one until we have some clarity there. Little Cat, what is Scoot rest of season in a points league? Is the injury bad, and would he be a priority over Suggs, Grimes, Bowl? Injury isn't bad, I don't think. It didn't look bad. Would he be a priority in a points league over Suggs, Grimes, and Bowl? I would have him over Bowl. You could make a case for him over all three of those guys, I think, in a points league. Definitely over Bowl, but I'm low on Bowl. So Grimes, not sure on Grimes yet, what his role is going to look like long term. Suggs, we know his role is good, but he's been so injured. So maybe not Suggs. Grimes, 50-50. Bowl, yes. All right, Johnson, you. I say to get ahead of grabbing Matkovic, would I drop Bouzelis for him? I'm looking for a center as I lost Ayton. Who would be better for rebounds and blocks? Blocks, they're probably pretty similar, I think. I mean, maybe Bouzelis has slightly more upside in blocks. It's pretty close. Rebounds, though, I would go Matkovic. So, I'm okay with that. I guess the risk is that we don't know how long Misi's going to be out and what's Matkovic's role going to look like. Bouzelis, I think, is locked in now for 30 minutes rest of season. If Pods averages 30 minutes a night, is he an ad over LeVert and Kamara? Did we answer that one already? Oh, yeah, we did. And I think I said LeVert, yes, Kamara, maybe. Oh, and you accidentally repeated the question, so yes. Why isn't Billy Donovan giving more minutes to Bouzelis? Look, I think he will. They've been really bad. Like, they've been blown out. They're just trashy. So I think he will get more minutes. He's getting more now than he was, so at least that's a step in the right direction. Rest of season value of a men. Little debate on Reddit. There's a little debate on Reddit whether a man is going to significantly lose value to Jabari and Van Fleet. Thoughts on podcast P rest of season? So Amen Thompson, he will lose value, yes. Significantly, I'd like to think no. He's better than Jabari Smith. that the Van Fleet returning, I mean, we had a good sample size of Amend next to Van Fleet. Van Fleet's only been out for a week. So we know that Amend is a top 50 player when Van Fleet is playing, top 40 maybe. Smith is the variable here because we don't know what they're going to do. Are they going to ease him back in? It was a hand or a finger or wrist or something. So conditioning should be fine when he does come back. He's already set a date to come back, so I would assume he's already ramping up, and he has a week now just to get some conditioning under his belt. So I think he'll come back and play 30 minutes, 28 minutes. It's whether he starts. Does Tari Eason lose minutes? So it's really hard to know here what they're going to do. I still think Amendi's going to be a clear must-roster player, but, yeah, he's not going to be putting up those top 30 numbers. So it is probably a sell high, although he wasn't great today, but probably a sell high for both him and Tari Eason at the moment. What are my thoughts on Podcast P? Look, I don't have him anywhere. I mean, he looks, the defense has been fine, but everything else is just not great. I think he's probably dealing with that finger injury. That probably impacts his offense a little bit. It's certainly a buy low. The issue is how many games does he play? I think most teams have about 30 left. Is that right? Maybe he plays 20 of those. So he's not the top 30 player. I think he's more probably a top, I don't know, maybe like top 50, something like that. I have Buzelis, Christie and Beal looking to add a backup for John Collins' stats later in the season. Is Matkovic worth adding over one of these guys? Ooh. Probably not. I don't know. Buzelis would be the one there that I'd consider adding him over. Yeah, probably not Max Christie. I think he's going to have to play a big role here for them. So, yeah, I'd be holding him. I think the others you could make a case for it, though. Yeah, so hold Christie. Beal. I mean, Phoenix want to win, don't they? Surely. Different stat sets too. I'd be okay if you wanted to add him over Buzelis. I think they're probably pretty similar. We talked about it earlier. Matkovic probably has slightly higher rebounding upside. But you're right. We do need to wait for this Misi injury report, which we may not get for a while. And we have a Misi question from Fierce Kane. Is Misi droppable to stream? I think he might be. I mean, the only reason I'd be holding him, I think, is blocks. Other than that, yeah, I don't think he needs to be. Is Giannis' calf concerning? A little bit. He's been out for a while. This is an ongoing injury. His knees are also pretty shot up. So, yeah, it's a little bit concerning. That's why I didn't draft him. Not the only reason, but I didn't draft him. Is Kuminga a must-add for 12-team points leagues? I think he will be. Yes. I don't know when he's going to come back. He'd be getting close. I don't know when he went out. But category leagues, he's probably 50-50. Points leagues, I think he will, because a lot of his value comes from points, as we know. So I think in points leagues, he's probably worth it if you've got an IR spot. Do I think it's worth stashing a player over the All-Star break or saving the extra ad for the end of the week? Look, I wouldn't do it now because we have like 6 days. I think it's okay to do it if we get some injury. Like if we get an update on Tuesday next week that says Misi is out for going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks, then I would go and add Matkovic. Right now, we're not going to get many updates. So, yeah, I'd probably wait if you've got limited moves. What about Klingon rest of season? Don't believe 30 minutes, and he was not that great in the past when Ayton was out. No, look, yesterday was certainly a high point for him. We have seen him starting earlier in the season. He was not that good. 30 minutes, that's probably his max. I think he's going to be more around the 20, 26 because Rob Williams, remember, wasn't there yesterday. So when Williams plays, he can play 20 to 22 minutes. So I do think that was best case yesterday for Klingon. And Joseph Kim probably got asked this a lot recently. Is it possible Mark Williams doesn't play again? It's a discussion, yeah. I think he will play, and I think he will play for Charlotte. Dalton Kincaid is already playing for the Lakers. We haven't heard anything about this sort of the Hornets asking for clarity and wanting the trade to go through. I assume that he will play for Charlotte at this point. I haven't heard anything saying he won't. So I also have him in a lot of leagues, so I'm probably being an optimist. But, yes, it is certainly a possibility, but I like to think that he will play. All right, I'm going to get out of here. Now, there probably won't be a show tomorrow. Well, not a pregame show. I might do a show. I did get the results of my knee. People, I don't know if anyone cares, but yes, torn ACL, torn meniscus. So I am on the bench for, well, a while, let's say that. Won't be going anywhere. We'll meet with my surgeon on, well, hopefully next week to get that surgery done. So I will be at home and I will have time to record shows. But I'll figure it out. I'll figure out what I'm doing. I've got an idea for this weekend, which, well, actually, no, it probably won't be this weekend. It'll probably be early next week. So I will keep you posted, but I need to talk to some analysts before I start anything. So, all right, everyone can get out of here. I'm going to go and see what we're doing for dinner. I'll be back tomorrow, potentially. I'll probably do a show after the All-Star break just to talk about the All-Star game and what I thought of it. Oh, hini-mini, it was my knee result. Yes, it was not good, obviously. But I'll let people know. Yep, I'll be around. Thank you for watching. Please go and download. Please go and like. Please go and subscribe. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.